This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Pet Potpourri, where our readers bring you information, advice, and heartwarming stories about your favorite furry friends. Featuring articles from your favorite dog and cat magazines, this is Pet Potpourri, right here on your audio reading service.
Hello, welcome to Pet Potpourri, a program brought to you by the audio reading service from the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Diana, pet mom to 3 rescued Labrador retrievers and 2 rescue kitties. Today I'm going to start our readings with an article from Catster.com. This is copyrighted by Catster in 2025. The article is called 6 Ways a Cat Tracker Can Keep Your Cat Safer, Healthier, and Happier. It's written by Rebecca Austin, published on August 26, 2025. Being a pet owner is a wonderful thing. Cats in particular are curious and social animals, each with a unique personality. They are an integral part of our homes and families, and we would do anything to keep them safe and healthy at all times. One of the greatest things to help keep them safe, happier, and healthier is to equip them with a GPS cat tracker. Firstly, simply for knowing where your cat is at all times, a cat tracker is worth the investment. But there is so much more a tracker can do that is both informative, engaging, and beneficial for you and your cat. Dogs have been wearing trackers for years. Now it's time for cats to enjoy the same technology, but with a tracker designed just for them. Cat trackers are lightweight and small and fit comfortably, so your cat won't even notice they are wearing one, especially with the recently launched PawFit Lite, that's PawFit, PawFit Lite, the lightest tracker in the PawFit family of trackers. As they go about their daily activity, you will now have loads of information about your pet gathered by smart tracking technology right at your fingertips in the coordinating tracking app. A cat tracker can make a big difference in the lives of felines and their families, so we put together a list of a few of the top reasons to consider getting one for your precious kitty. Number 1. Helps you keep your cat safer. While your cat may be inclined for a good game of hide-and-seek, you may not be. With a cat tracker, you can know where your cat is at all times and find them fast if you ever need to. By setting multiple safety zones, you'll receive alerts when your cat is outside the zone to help avoid a potential crisis. Even the coolest cat can get spooked by fireworks, wildlife, or other unexpected noises, so having the ability to react immediately can help prevent a catastrophe. Number 2. Helps you stay on top of your pet's health. With the fast-paced lifestyles of today, families may not notice if their cat is lounging more or not as active as usual. A cat location and activity tracker can show you right from the app just how much exercise your pet is getting. It can help detect lethargy or hyperactivity that may not be normal for your pet, or signs that something else is going on. Regular monitoring can bring many insights about your pet's health to light for even greater awareness. Number 3. Provides cat and cat owner happiness. Trackers can reduce anxiety in pet owners by providing the comfort of knowing where their cat is at all times, which also makes for a happier cat. Happy paw rent, happy cat, happy life. A cat out of sight can weigh heavily on a pet parent's mind, and pet parents can rest more easily knowing their cat's whereabouts is always available right at their fingertips in the tracker app. Number 4. Gives you tracker data to spot trends. With regular tracking, you'll discover where your cat's favorite hiding places are. In the case of an emergency, you may already have a good idea where your pet is hiding and can find them faster. A tracker can also monitor how active your cat is, so if you'll notice that suddenly there is little or no activity, that could be a sign that they are in trouble or ill. Number 5. Helps with weight management. With pet obesity on the rise, a tracker can help make sure your pet is staying active by checking calories burned, distance traveled, and more. By setting goals, monitoring them, and adjusting as needed for your pet, you can stay on top of your cat's wellness. Number 6. Share tracking with the whole family. More eyes equal more peace of mind. A tracker equipped with family sharing allows multiple people to track the whereabouts of your pet and have access to all the other tracking features as well. After all, sharing is caring. With more eyeballs on the fur balls, this feature is great for traveling pet parents or busy families to make sure your cat is being looked after to help keep them safe. Conclusion. These are just a few of the ways a cat GPS tracker, like the one from PawFit, can help enhance the lives of pets and their parents. There are many other tools to play with on a cat tracker, such as light or sound features and temperature alerts, and with the rapid speed of technology development, many more features will soon become available. Staying connected to your cat in real time can be a game changer in worry-free pet care. Well, now let's turn to a Chicken Soup for the Soul book, Life Lessons from the Dog. This was copyrighted by Chicken Soup for the Soul, LLC in 2019. The chapter is called Finding the Way, and it was written by Suzanne M. Kurth. The one absolutely unselfish friend that man can have in this selfish world, the one that never deserts him, the one that never proves ungrateful or treacherous, is his dog. That's a quote by George Graham. The alarm on my watch went off. It was time. That delicious curl of excitement and nerves unfurled in my belly. I'd been a police canine handler for 5 or 6 years by then, but always reacted this way when it was time to track a suspect. It didn't matter if it was a training scenario like this was, or a for-real track. I got geeked up. Ranger, my police dog, and I both loved finding bad guys who would otherwise get away. We relied on each other, and others relied on us. I let Ranger out of the patrol car and pulled his tracking harness from the equipment bag. He trotted over and nosed it, and then began spinning in circles. He got geeked up, too. I put the harness on him in accordance with our little ritual. Right foreleg first, then head, then left foreleg, clicking the belly band into the top line buckle, and then snapping the 30-foot line onto the D-ring on the back strap. The ritual was important. The snap of the line buckle signaled, game on. This was our scenario. Another officer had attempted to stop a stolen car 20 minutes earlier. The driver had pulled behind a nearby abandoned manufacturing plant in a light industrial area and then fled on foot. Our job was to find and arrest him. Ranger and I walked up to the open driver's door of the recovered steel. I fed out the line so he could move freely, and I hung back to keep from getting in his way. He knew his business. He sniffed around the door and the seat, and then backed out, ducked under the door, and took off around the front end of the car and into the large parking lot north of the building. Dogs with 4 legs outpace humans with 2 legs, so to avoid being a literal drag-on ranger while he worked, I swung into my more-than-a-jog, less-than-a-run tracking pace. Ranger was a big, handsome German shepherd, whose intelligence and good nature sparkled in light, reddish-brown eyes. He was a traditional black and tan, but the tan on the inside of his legs and on his chest was very light. A scattering of black-tipped hairs in these areas kept the color from sliding into cream. At 95 pounds, he outweighed most other working dogs by 20 to 25 pounds, yet he moved with grace and power. That strength was now channeled into his excitement for the track. He pulled me forward in a somewhat straight line, nose about 6 inches off the ground, head occasionally shifting back and forth, all his usual signals that he was on the track. We had crossed about a third of the lot when he veered to the right and began pulling harder. Normally he only did this when he found the person at the end of the track, yet I was skeptical because of training tracks. As training tracks went, this one was rather short so far. I reminded myself of the first rule of tracking. Don't second-guess the dog. You've no idea what he's smelling. Let him work it out. By now, it was nearly dark. Ranger headed into a grove of tightly packed trees along a riverbank. We scrambled up the bank, where he turned right and made for some low bushes. Lunging through them, he stopped abruptly, but didn't bark or growl. He ignored me when I called his name, so I moved up the line, hand over hand, and came up behind him. As the near dark and bushes concealed his face, I grabbed the flashlight from my belt. I brought up the light, and the edge of the beam glinted off glossy black fur trimmed with a jagged streak of white. I panicked and shouted, "Out! Out!" Obediently, Ranger spit out the skunk, and it toddled off into the darkness. I pulled him away from the area to check him out. Getting downwind of him was unnecessary. He reeled of skunk stink, especially around his head and chest. Ranger shook his head a few times, wrapping strands of drool around his muzzle. He stood there looking up at me forlornly, smelly and dripping drool, and then blew it off in a sneezing fit. Knowing water would only make things worse, I dry wiped his face and tongue. His eyes looked okay, and his breathing settled down after a few minutes. Ranger had been tracking for years, but I was worried an experience this bad would put him off of it. I had no idea if he would be willing to track, given his discomfort, or even if tracking was possible, with the way his sense of smell was contaminated. On top of that, the track itself was now over an hour old, and much of the area was asphalt, parking lot, and roadway, difficult surfaces because they held so little scent. Wanting to salvage what we could of the training session, I took Ranger back to the last place where I was sure he was on the original track. When his head shaking, drooling, and sneezing subsided, I cast him there and told him to track. His stink wasn't the only reason I held my breath. Ranger milled around for a little bit and then took off in the same general direction as the original track, but about 50 feet downwind of it. That was okay. It made sense given the conditions. My relief was short-lived, however, as he began the first of countless loop-the-loops and backtracks. For 30 minutes, he spun and turned, dragged me over to bushes and away, across rock-filled parking lot medians and sidewalks, only to recross them further down. Ranger's behavior and body language were so different that I gave up trying to read him and let him pull me along wherever he wanted to go. Frustrated and worried that we were just going for a walk, it took me some time to realize that although we repeatedly covered the same ground, there was a small segment of new ground each time. And those segments added up to a consistent direction of travel. A third of a mile from the start, Ranger left the commercial area and crossed into a field. So clueless was I that I stumbled and almost fell when he lunged forward and began barking. The suspect jumped out of the shadow gully and surrendered. I was amazed at what Ranger accomplished that night, and grateful for the example he set. He knew what he wanted and refused to let an obstacle discourage him. He used his determination and what ability was left to him to work out the path he should take. He adapted and persevered until he found a way to his goal and, in the process, he improved himself. And I apologize if I forgot to say so at the beginning of the article. This was written by Suzanne M. Kurth. Well, now let's go to animalwellnessmagazine.com, and it's copyrighted in 2025 by Animal Wellness. This article is called Natural Treatment for Dog Itching with Oleander Extract. It's by Teresa Folsom, DVM, MS, PhD, Diplomat, ACVS. It was updated on August 30th, 2025. Here's how Oleander Extract offers a natural solution for your dog's chronic itching without suppressing his immune system. Did you know that itchy dogs account for nearly 50% of veterinary visits? Atopic dermatitis and persistent itching commonly affect dogs, making them uncomfortable and frustrating their families. Chronic itching, along with the associated scratching and licking, significantly impact your dog's quality of life. This article explores the common causes of itching in dogs, It also discusses current solutions, their benefits, and limitations. We'll focus on how oleander extract offers a safe, natural alternative for dog itching. This treatment option manages symptoms while supporting your dog's immune system. Common causes of itchy skin. Take your dog to the vet to identify the root cause of his itchiness, a critical first step. Common culprits include allergies, environmental, which would be pollen, mold, dust mites, or food-related allergies. Tip, diet plays a key role. For example, many dogs are allergic to chicken, a common protein in commercial dog food. Also parasites, fleas, ticks, and mites are notorious for causing itchiness. Skin infections, bacterial or fungal infections, e.g. yeast dermatitis. Dry skin, low humidity, poor diet, or overbathing. And finally, underlying health issues such as autoimmune diseases, hormone imbalances, or other systemic conditions. Conventional medications for itching. Many veterinarians use apothelic medications and treatments to manage atopic dermatitis. Cytopoint, a monoclonal antibody injection that targets itch-inducing cytokines. It provides relief for 4 to 8 weeks at $65 to $200 per injection, depending on the dog's size. While dogs experience minimal side effects, the efficacy of Cytopoint varies. Apoquil. This oral medication suppresses itch-inducing cytokines within 4 hours. It costs $60 to $150 per month and may cause side effects like vomiting, diarrhea, and an increased risk of infections due to potential immunosuppressants. Apoquil is not advisable for dogs with cancer or severe skin infections and those less than 12 months of age. Atopica. This cyclosporine-based medication also suppresses the immune system and can be highly effective for chronic itching. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea are the side effects, along with immune suppression. Cost is $100 to $200 per month. A tip, conventional options can be effective, however, their limitations include immune suppression and high costs. Oleander extract, a natural solution with immune support. Nerium indicum, also known as Nerium oleander, is a botanical whose properties are being studied as a powerful natural alternative for managing skin conditions. Unlike traditional medications, oleander extract provides the following benefits. Inhibits itch cytokines. It reduces the signals that trigger itching by targeting inflammatory cytokines. It supports the immune system. Instead of suppressing immunity, oleander helps the body mount a balanced immune response. Tip, because oleander extract supports the immune system and does not suppress the immune system, it may be a safe long-term solution for dogs suffering from chronic itching. Nix the itch without suppressing immunity. Many pet products claim to stop itching, but they often rely on marketing hype instead of proven efficacy. While conventional options like Apoquil, Cytopoint, and Atopica are effective, they come with limitations, specifically immune suppression and high cost. If your dog has chronic itching, speak to your vet about the best natural options that address itching while supporting his immune system. Early studies of oleander extract in dogs shows promise as an innovative solution for your dog's symptoms without compromising his or her health. Managing atopic dermatitis requires a comprehensive approach, identifying the root cause and exploring both traditional and natural solutions can help you find the right treatment for your dog. Other natural treatments for managing itching. For some dogs, the following natural remedies can be effective. 1. Chamomile and green tea soaks, soothing and anti-inflammatory. 2. Colloidal oatmeal baths, help hydrate and calm itchy skin. 3. Apple cider vinegar rinses, balance skin pH and reduce yeast infections. 4. Fish oil, rich in omega-3 fatty acids that improve skin health. 5. Aloe vera, provides cooling and healing effects for irritated skin. While these solutions can help alleviate symptoms, they don't always address the underlying immune imbalances that drive chronic itching. on the safe side. Oleander is highly effective, but it is a cardiac glycoside. These compounds can be toxic if not administered properly. Work with a holistic or integrative veterinarian to ensure the correct dose of oleander extract for your dog. Studies confirm that microdosed Nerium indicinum is safe for dogs when administered appropriately. Well, our last reading is going to be from the Chicken Soup for the Soul book, The Cat Did What?, which was copyrighted in 2014 by Chicken Soup for the Soul Publishing, LLC. This chapter is called Stray Cats. It was written by Lynn Madalena Mena. I'm going to jail. Directly to jail. I'm not passing go, and I'm certainly not collecting $200. My crime, you ask? I've been feeding the stray cats in my yard. It seems there's a town ordinance against it, punishable by a fine, and since I'm refusing to stop, probably jail time. No, I'm not a crazy cat lady, although I must appear to be one. In fact, I had never been a pet person in general. When we bought our home 15 years ago, however, it seemed to come with a built-in pet in the form of a beautiful black cat that lived in the backyard. It will come as no surprise to cat lovers that the little black cat made her way into our home and our hearts. When Tootsie passed away 2 years ago, the balance of power in our yard was destroyed. It became the real-life version of the animated film Over the Hedge. The cat was away, far away, and every other critter in our yard was vying for that vacant position of head honcho. Ducks began swimming in our pool in spite of massive amounts of chlorine. Chipmunks climbed our screens for sport. But the final indignity came while I was reading a book on a chaise lounge and two squirrels circled me in a mad, cartoon-like chase, holding me hostage and quivering in fear they would hop onto the chair. "We're not getting a cat," said Prospero. "Don't even ask." He knew that I had been popping into local adoption centers. But he was adamant that we would resume our old life of traveling and having no fur on the furniture. Prospero was absolutely brokenhearted when Tootsie passed, but he was looking forward to the freedom one has in life when there are no pets or children to consider. Then one day, when I was out to feed the birds, I found a black and white tuxedo cat huddled under the feeder. She was injured, with freshly dried blood on her paws, quivering and near starvation. Hunting in her weakened condition was nearly impossible, and she used all of her energy trying to get away from me. So I put out a dish of leftover dried food along with a can of food found in the cabinet. I brought it near to where she had been hovering, and along with a bowl of fresh water. Tripod, as my husband began calling her since she favored her left front paw, made herself comfortable in the flower bed under the bird feeder, only getting up to eat. After several days, she began to heal and within weeks had a shiny coat and fighting spirit. When the cool weather set in, we brought her a heated house to sleep in. Tripod was happy there for several weeks, then abandoned it for reasons of her own. Weeks passed after her disappearance, but word must have gotten out that there were good eats to be found in our backyard. Stray cats began appearing each day, and no one left hungry, including one cat that had a lovely home around the corner. Tiger Lily may not have had a collar, but Prospero and I saw her walking into a woman's house like she belonged there. By this time, all the strays had names. Phantom had a black and gray mask over half of his face. Midnight was a spitfire of a black cat with a white moon on his chest, and Chestnut had fuzzy brown fur. Even Tripod reappeared and established herself as the ruler of the roost, often chasing the other cats away. Feral cats are funny creatures, though. They never make human contact, disappear for days on end, or you can have a morning like today when everyone showed up at the break of dawn for breakfast buffet. Prospero and I ran around the yard, putting plates of food in various corners so the cats could eat in peace. It's a cat comedy to watch them take a few bites, give each other the stink eye as a warning to keep away from their food, and then glance at us to make sure we remain securely locked in our habitat. They do love to watch us through the glass door, especially when I'm on my elliptical machine, making me feel like a hamster on a wheel. It's a win-win situation. Seeing cats in the yard helped us to not miss my Tootsie so much. Prospero was happy that no cats worked their way into the house, which is why he splurged on the heated cat house in the first place. And the cats were happy to have their bellies full of healthy food. Best of all, balance was restored to the yard. The cats chased the ducks out of the pool, the chipmunks kept their distance from the house, and the squirrels stayed in the trees where they belonged. Only the town officials weren't happy, or they wouldn't have been had they known what I was doing. One day I read in the local paper that an elderly woman had to appear before the judge because her neighbors turned her in for feeding the cats. "Now, madam," said the judge kindly, "you can look at the cats, you can pray for the cats, but you cannot feed the cats. That's against the law in this town." I felt so sorry for the poor woman. I also realized that I was in deep trouble. Several other articles appeared in the paper regarding the ongoing wars between cat lovers and their bird-loving neighbors, and the bird people always won. Even when I had my beloved Tootsie, a neighbor hissed, "That cat is vicious. She kills for the fun of it." Well, she was a cat. Eventually, I'll get caught, but until that time, I'm going to continue to feed the stray cats. Is it really so wrong? Anyway, I have a game plan. If I have to go before the judge, I'm going to drop a dime on my neighbor across the street. She keeps chickens, also against the law, so that her family can have fresh organic eggs every day. The horror! I like her a lot, and we really get along. She often gives me fresh eggs. Hopefully we can be roomies in jail, or maybe even form a book club in our cell block. Or, on the other hand, I can fight this ridiculous ordinance to the Supreme Court. I always loved a good fight. I'll keep you posted on how this goes down. Until then, the stray cats will eat. And that's all the time we have for today. This has been Diana with Pet Potpourri. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.